Hello, 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 and welcome to the Specialized Strategist Podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. Today, we are building on the last two solo episodes, which were facilitated IEPs and mediation. If you missed those, go ahead, take a second, listen, download, and get caught up. Today, we're diving into due process. Understanding this powerful tool can make all the difference in ensuring your child receives the education they deserve. As we explore the ins and outs of due process, remember that it's not for every dispute. Under IDEA, you can only file a due process complaint for specific issues related to your child's education, such as identification, evaluation, placement, or ensuring a free and appropriate public education. It's about your child's education, not procedural or technical violations. Stay tuned as we break down the key aspects of due process, including the types of disputes it covers, the time limits involved, how to file a complaint, and what happens during a due process hearing. Plus, we'll discuss the important matter of attorney fees and your right to challenge a hearing decision if needed. Don't forget to give us a like, follow, or share. This helps spread the word and share support. Also, for more tips and strategies, come find me on social at Learning Essentials. So let's start with what exactly is due process in special education. Due process is a legal mechanism for resolving disputes about your child's rights to special education services. It's governed by our federal law, IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The purpose of IEP due process hearing is to resolve disputes between parents and a school district regarding a child's special education services and individualized education program or plan, your IEP. It is designed to ensure that children with disabilities receive appropriate educational services. As a parent, you can file a due process complaint only for disputes related to the identification, evaluation, or educational placement of a child with a disability or the provision of free and appropriate education, FAPE. So this means it's specifically for special education disputes. The main federal laws that are governing the IEP process and due process hearing is IDEA Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. These laws outline our rights and protections of children with disabilities and their parents. So what type of disputes can fall under the due process? Disputes can be either substantive or procedural. Substantive issues relate to your child's right to an appropriate education, while procedural issues involve the technical aspect of the evaluation or IEP process. Due process decisions about whether your child received FAPE, free and appropriate education, must be based on substantive issues, not technicalities like lack of notice. However, it can be considered if a procedural violation significantly impacts your child's education. So to request an IEP due process hearing, you typically need to submit a written request to your school's district special education department or a relevant state agency. So the request should detail the specific issues you want to address and the relief that you are seeking. The steps before pursuing due process, there's a couple of them. So what I want you to think about, I would say communicate with the school, try to resolve issues through open communication with the school and the district. Make sure you document everything. And I say this regardless of due process or not, it's not documented, it didn't take place. So keep records of all communications, meetings, correspondence that are related to your child's education, and then seek the mediation or resolution prior to due process. Those are the other two solos I did. Explore alternatives to due process, looking at see if mediation can be a fit, see if resolution can be a fit, see if its resolution is offered in your district. So see if we can come to an agreement without having a formal hearing. Now there are time limits set. So IDEA sets specific time limits for each stage of due process, including filing a due process complaint, holding a resolution session, conducting a hearing, and filing a lawsuit. State-specific rules may apply. So always say that, check what's out, what is specific in your state. IDEA covers what is federally acceptable. States cannot do less than that, but they can do more than that. So check with your state to see more specific. So when you're filing a due process complaint, your complaint must be written, signed, and describe the dispute, including facts and a proposed solution. It should be sent to both the school and your state's education department. The due process hearing, what happens? So the hearing officer must be impartial and know how to conduct the hearing. You have rights such as hiring a lawyer, presenting evidence and witnesses, cross-examining witnesses, and receiving a written decision. Both parties must disclose evidence and evaluations at least 5 days before the hearing to ensure a fair process. Failure to do so can result in evidence being excluded from your hearing. You also have the right to legal representation during due process hearing. It's recommended to consult always. I say this, I am not an attorney. I help coach with IEPs, but I would always recommend you to consult with an attorney or somebody that is really experienced with special education law to help you navigate this process. It can get a little tricky within the details. Now, common issues addressed during the process of hearings include disagreements over the appropriateness of the child's IEP, placement, related services, or evaluations. The duration of due process varies, but it typically takes several months from the initial request to the resolution. The exact timeline, again, depends on factors like the case's complexity and the availability of that hearing officer. Possible outcomes of an IEP due process hearing include changes to the child's IEP, placement, compensatory services, or reimbursement for private services, among others. So decisions are reached by the hearing officer based on evidence presented by both parties. As I kind of said earlier, alternatives to due process, remember, check into that mediation and resolution. It can give you a less adversarial way to address disputes. To protect your child's rights, ensure you clearly understand the IEP process and relevant laws. So I want you to work closely with your attorney or advocate to build a strong case. Make sure you gather that evidence. And if you are using witnesses, make sure you prepare them so they know what they're getting into. They know what questions are going to be asked. And so they seem more comfortable with the process and helping you along your way in stating your case. So if you win with the help of a lawyer, you may be entitled to reasonable attorney fees. The school may also seek attorney fees if it wins and your case is frivolous. So keep that in mind. If you lose, you can challenge the decision through a lawsuit or an appeal, depending again on your state's rules. Due process is powerful, but it is complex. Consider consulting an education advocate, again, or a lawyer to make sure you understand all of your rights, that you've decided if it's the right option for you and your family and your child's education dispute. I want to just take a second and talk about how would you prepare for a due process. Again, consult with an advocate or an attorney, gather all your relevant documents and records, identify potential witnesses who can testify on your child's behalf, prepare a clear and concise opening statement. It's going to list all your key points, familiarize yourself with the rules and procedures of due process hearings. So on the day of due process, I want you to arrive early, be prepared to present your case, present your evidence, your witnesses, and your arguments. Be respectful and professional during those proceedings, which can be difficult because you're talking about your baby. So you're coming from this place of fear and love, and it can be very overwhelming and stressful. Hence, making sure that you have the right guidance, make sure you have the right preparation, and that you're ready to go in. Follow any instructions that are provided by that hearing officer. Take notes. Record with transparency during the hearing for future reference, meaning that you need to notify that you will be recording because each state law has differences in how they go about the request for recording meetings. So remember that the specific procedures for due process hearings, they can vary by state. So it's crucial, again, talk to somebody that is well-versed in your state's special education laws. So for a perspective, I want to share two brief summaries of well-known court cases that relate to due process and special education with their outcomes. So a case of Board of Education versus Raleigh, which was in 1982, this case is a landmark decision in special education law. Amy Raleigh, a deaf student with a cochlear implant, attended a public school, received special education services. Her parents believed that the school district was not providing adequate services and requested a sign language interpreter. The outcome of that case was that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the school district. The decision established the standards that schools must provide free and appropriate public education, but clarified that free and appropriate education does not mean providing the best possible education. Instead, it means that providing personalized instruction with sufficient support to benefit from education. And that gets a little confused sometimes, even in a regular IEP meeting. So it is always important to remember that aspect, that the school district's responsibility is not always the best that is out there, but providing personalized instruction with sufficient support so that you can access the education. The other one is Andrew F. versus Douglas County School District in 2017. So Andrew F. was a student with autism. He attended a public school and made minimal progress under his IEP. His parents argued that the school's IEP did not provide sufficient educational benefits. They sought reimbursement for private school tuition. So the Supreme Court unanimously ruled in favor of Andrew's parents. The decision clarified that the child's IEP must provide more than just trivial or minimal progress. It is important to remember when we develop an IEP that we are looking for future education, independence, and employment. So all of our decisions, when we come for our IEP meetings and you as a parent are submitting your parent input statement, are keeping in mind, where do I see my child in 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years? And so when you're looking at goals and your quarterly progress for your students' goals, minimal progress or trivial progress is not going to be the aim for providing that meaningful educational benefit. It is time to come back and see, look at the data, look at where the child is, and how can we better support this student. So back to the Andrew F. case, this case reinforced the requirement for an appropriately ambitious IEP for children with disabilities. So these cases highlight the importance of understanding the legal standards for special education services and the individualized nature of IEPs. Parents can use these cases as reference points when you start advocating for your kiddo and ensuring that your child receives the appropriate support and services mandated by law. So, folks, that about wraps it up. I hope this solo episode gave you an overview of due process. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Special Ed Strategist. Again, I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I hope this discussion has shed light on the complexities of due process and special education and how it can be a powerful tool for parents and professionals alike. If you found this episode valuable, please share with your support by liking, following, and sharing our podcast. Your engagement helps us continue on our mission of empowering parents and professionals in the special education journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Learning Essentials for more tips, updates, and resources to navigating the world of special education. I'm here to help you unlock your kiddo's full potential and ensure they receive the education they deserve. Until next time, again, Wendy Taylor. Bye for now.